Podcast.
Welcome to the Barebow Archery Podcast. I'm your host, Glenn Pringle. Thanks for joining us. It's a very short intro today. We have archery coach Chris Hill telling us all about the linear shot sequence. You might not have heard of it, but if you have a look on YouTube and search for Chris Hill Archery, you'll find a seminar that Chris did at the 2020 Vegas shoot. It's a very interesting watch. And we're going to hear all about this linear shot sequence and how it can work for barebow shooters. Chris currently has three barebow archers in the US archery team, and he explains all about the linear shot sequence. On the line with me now, we've got Chris Hill of Chris Hill Olympic Archery. Is that correct?
Yes. Also, MK Korea distributor and sponsored by MK Archery.
Excellent. And where are you at the minute, Chris? Are you what city, what state, what country are you in?
I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the USA.
And what's the weather like there today?
It is beautiful, and I think we have Fahrenheit, so 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's not bad. We kind of like have half and half here. All the kind of older generation still work in Fahrenheit, and the younger generation in Celsius. So they have to do both when they do the weather forecast here.
Ah, yes.
Right, Chris. The reason we've got you on because we looked at your very interesting seminar on YouTube, and we actually first saw it when we were on the Vegas Shoot 2020 site.
Okay.
And it came up on the app as a list of seminars, and I was really interested. It really caught my eye when I first saw it, and I was kind of jealous that I wasn't there in Vegas to go and have a look. It's a bit of a long drive. I was glad to see it pop up on your YouTube channel because I do follow you on YouTube. So I was really glad to see it. So I had a look through it, and I was like, well, I think I need to get Chris on to talk about this linear shot sequence. So find out before we talk about that, just a little bit about you. You said you're like an MK Korea dealer, so do you deal with limbs and the risers and so on and so forth?
Yes. I started out competing archery in 2006, and I moved to Las Vegas around that time, and I was shooting quite a lot trying to compete, so I was shooting about 5 days a week. And I was in the local archery range quite often. And so I cut a deal with them that I would coach their Joed, their archery kids program, in exchange for being able to shoot in the range for free because I was just in there so much and at the outdoor range. And so they agreed. So I started coaching basically just kids that would come in the U.S. we have a Joed program. It's like a junior Olympic development, but basically it just gets kids interested in archery and shooting, and then hopefully you get them interested in wanting to compete at some point. And so I started out doing that, and as I was competing and shooting and learning the shot sequence, I was teaching it to the kids. And after about 6 or 7 years, suddenly the kids had won 8 national championships using this form. It was really amazing how well they did just using the simple principles of just body alignment and leverage and using the natural body posture for strength to shoot, and it made them really consistent. And it's kind of funny the way that I fell into the barebow crowd. While we had all these kids in our kind of beginning archery program, some of them came up and wanted to compete, and so we formed kind of a competitive archery team for them. And each year for about 6 or 7 years straight, there was maybe 15 kids in the competition team. And they practiced quite a bit and shot to get ready for national tournaments. And some of the parents sitting there being bored decided they wanted to shoot.
Oh, that's good.
And, And I would have in the archery range, some of the adults that would come in and would shoot would also watch me coaching these competition kids. And to start it out, there was a bare bow guy who was shooting, but he would come in and shoot kind of the same time that I would work with the competition team. And so he would come up and ask me questions and shoot and ask me to check his form. And I wasn't technically his coach, but for about a year, I gave him quite a bit of coaching just kind of alongside with the kids. And then he came up one day and he said, I'm going to shoot a couple of tournaments. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. That is so cool. I'm really happy for you. So he goes, and 6 or 7 months later, he comes back to me and he says, oh, yeah, I made the USA team.
Whoa, that's cool.
I'm flabbergasted. I'm like, this is so awesome. Oh, my gosh, I had no idea. So as that was going on, I had two parents that were bringing in their two kids to shoot on the archery team, and they were also bored. So the mom decided to pick up a bare bow, and the dad picked up a compound, and they started shooting, and they would listen to what I said to their kids, and then they would apply it. And then when the mom decided she wanted to start tournaments, I actually started coaching her. And then the dad decided to switch from compound to bare bow so that he could shoot the same divisions as his wife, and they would travel and do tournaments kind of as a family thing, which I thought was just awesome. I love to see a whole family involved in the sport. And so the mom goes and shoots some tournaments in her first year, and she makes the USA team.
Whoa, and, excellent.
And the dad didn't, only because his work schedule prevented him from shooting the required tournaments. And he finally did that last year, and now he made the USA team. So I had three archers basically on the periphery of the kids I was actually teaching who shot bare bow, and the first year or so that they competed made a USA team.
That's good going, that. That's very good going.
Because we do have quite a number of bare bow talent here in the U.S. that shoot, so it's not like it's an easy walk up to the podium. There's guys here that shoot really well, as I'm sure in the U.K. and in Europe. I mean, there's some guys who just, they don't need a sight. They just shoot lights out.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It was really, really funny how that kind of just worked out. But for me, form is form and archery is archery. Whether you have a sight or not, or where you anchor, the basic principles are the same. But with the mom, I do have to give some credit. When she was the first year she was going to shoot Vegas, I knew John Dimmer, and I asked him while he was at Vegas if he would work with her for an hour and just answer her questions, because I really didn't know anything about string walking or arrow tune or what rest to use or who made the better bare bow tabs and so that kind of stuff. And so he was really gracious and worked with her for a while at Vegas on her first tournament and really kind of answered questions that I didn't know that were outside of the form.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool of him, that.
But as they shot tournaments and have since shot tournaments, a lot of other bare bow archers have come up to them asking, you know, who taught you your form? How did you learn your form? How did you get to shoot like that? And I think people are surprised when they say me, because I'm known more than not as an Olympic recurve coach, not so much as a bare bow. So when I put together my seminar for Vegas this year, actually I've been given the seminar for the past year, but I decided to put it on at Vegas. I really wanted to open it up to the bare bow archers. A lot of them are very independent. They're self-coached. And I thought that maybe I could give them some principles that they could use that might help them shoot as well as the bare bow archers that I had coached previously to it. And so I had a really good bare bow turnout at Vegas. It was really nice. And it even now had some longbow archers come to the seminar and ask for some coaching as well. So it's kind of branching out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if it grows the sport, I'm happy with it. I'm really just happy that people can do well with it and meet their personal goals and enjoy shooting and have good results.
Yeah, I mean, I did see on one of the Facebook groups that people had posted and they'd been to your seminar. That just made me even more intrigued that the fact that there was a decent bare bow crowd there that had come to see, you know, what you got to say. So, I mean, kind of, there's a big bare bow thing on at the minute. And hopefully it continues and it continues to grow. And I'm really pleased for the guys that you've coached who've made the US team. I think, you know, it's an achievement. And like you say, it's no easy step up to, you know, the podium there. You've got some decent talent. And it's really, really shows that if they can, you know, come into archery without intentionally doing it, it's kind of they're there to support their kid, and then, you know, their kid starts doing well, then they get more interested and they come in. The fact that more people are being drawn in, it's just it doesn't matter what bow style they shoot, it's, you know, it's good for everyone. And we've got a family here near where I live, and it's, I think it's like mum, dad, and maybe two or three daughters, I'm not sure, but you know, that it's an expensive trip to a competition, but you know, they're all there and they're all kind of, you know, doing it as a family. So it's great, as you know, yeah, that they can do that as a family.
Right. And sometimes the parents are already going because the kids are, you know, aren't adults. So they're minors.
Yeah.
And so the hotel's already paid. They already have to pay for airfare. It might as well pay an entry fee and just shoot the tournament as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's better because sometimes parents are, you know, nervous parents when their kids are competing. So it's actually nice that they can go compete as well and then worry about their own self and not fret in the audience at what the kid is doing.
Yeah. And they're not going to be a soccer mum if they're already stressed out.
Yeah.
So if they're stressed out with their own competition, they're not going to be a soccer mum, like hovering over the kid, go do this,
correct,
do that.
Correct. Yeah. But yes, the first with my competition team, the first couple of tournaments that we did, there was a group of moms who sat there with a glass of wine, just stressed out to the max. the kids were just blinking arrows, having fun, and the moms were just a mess. That was pretty funny. We, you know, that was a lot of good pictures showing, you know, how the moms were more affected by the tournament pressure than the actual kids shooting.
Yeah. There was something, and I sound like I literally live on Facebook here, but there was something on Facebook the other day about the kind of things that, you know, that like that when the parents are kind of living through their children, their kind,
yes,
of their dreams, they kind of transpose their dreams onto a child. And it, like you say, the kid's having fun, it's the parents that are stressing out.
Yes. And I have to make sure with my son too, because he shoots and he likes to compete.
Yeah.
And it's a fine line of, you know, we worked and we did, and he shot a lot, and then he shot Vegas, and then he finished Vegas, and he didn't have any desire to shoot for a month. And so I just left it alone. I didn't say a word about it or anything. And last night he actually said, okay, I'll shoot. And
okay,
he shot. But, and I'm like, okay, well, if you want to shoot Vegas next year, you got to practice. But
yeah,
I'm not going to be the one to say you need to do it. This is on you. You have to do it. I can't do it, you know. And
yeah,
I really don't want to ever push him out of the sport because I'm like, okay, you need to shoot this and let's shoot this tournament and you need, you know, you need to be an archer. And that, I think I would just, it would be terrible for me to know that I drove him out of the sport that I love. So it's difficult for parents to tiptoe around how do you keep the passion for the sport and have them do it and enjoy it, but not push too hard.
Yeah, it's a really delicate balance.
Yes.
My daughter's just started now. She's 8, and she's just started now, and I'm kind of totally hands off. I'm not coaching her because it's pointless. I mean, she doesn't listen to a word I say. So, you know, like most kids.
That's my wife. And she shoots archery. She'll say, why don't you coach me? And then as soon as I start to coach her, it's like, it's just, no, not for me.
So, yeah.
But kids too, you know, I mean, my son's 11 and they're a little lazy sometimes. Sometimes they're a kid and, you know, it's like, it's difficult to figure out when you should push them because they're just being a kid and lazy. And when you shouldn't push them because that's pushing too much them into the sport or on the sport.
Yeah, I mean, that applies to a lot of things. I mean, sometimes when we've got a lovely day planned out, our kids are just like, nah, I want to sit in front of TV. And, you know, you'd really have to kind of insist. And I suppose that archery is the same, or any sport, anyone kind of pursuing any sport. One of our friends, they do a lot of grassroots football or soccer, as you call it there.
Right.
And the parents are there like all the time, you know, every weekend. But
right,
it's like they want their kids to be involved, but they're not like, you know, you must come, you must be involved. And it's like you say, it's a fine line. It's very delicate. And you kind of, you need to have that sixth sense for when to push a little bit and when to back off. And it's kind of, you're always swinging backwards and forwards on that line.
Yes. But I do think that the linear shot sequence works really well with bare buck. I mean, every new kid that comes into our range or that I teach, they start with bare buck. It's just a shot bow, no sight. Just here's some arrows and a bow, and you start out with just form and form. My son shot bare bow until maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago. I mean, he just, you know, so I do see that there's a lot of correlation to it. I mean, it's its own distinct shooting style. And, you know, there's a number of different ways that people aim, whether it's instinctive or string walking or whatever. But the form itself is form is form.
So I remember looking at your seminar on YouTube, and it was very interesting about the alignment, because you made a lot of references to the kind of Korean archers. And it was kind of your kind of almost a mantra was like alignment first, and then plop your head in, and get the anchor second. Because if your anchor isn't where you're in alignment, then it's kind of no good for you.
Right, you're stuck there, which is what everybody has trouble. As soon as they anchor, it's like they're stuck. They've turned the anchor into the pivot point, and then they can't fit the alignment in. And unfortunately, it's taught quite often that anchor is like a major step. It's like you draw and get your anchor, and then you start figuring out other stuff like alignment and holding or transferring or back tension, all this stuff. It's like this resting place. And really, anchor is a minor byproduct like string blur. Nobody really, when they're teaching you form, teaches you string blur.
Yeah.
It just happens. It's going to be where it is. And you just want to shoot and kind of make sure it's kind of in the same place each time. And that means you're being consistent. And anchor is the same. You draw to your arm alignment, and then you put your nose on the string, and the head position will be where it will be based on your alignment. And everybody will have a slightly little bit different way to get to alignment. But once they get there, alignment is alignment.
Yeah. I mean,
I stress it. I mean, just over and over and over. I drill it. It's probably the number one word that I say to all of my students is alignment. You got to get to alignment. It saves so much out of a bad shot. It saves so much out of a bad release. If you're in alignment, you've done 95% of the work you need to do.
Yeah. Just kind of going off a slight tangent with that. During this week, I've done a couple of shows with Joel Turner, who does a lot of target panic seminars, target panic kind of teaching courses. And he's got a tie up with somebody else, but in terms of the kind of form, he sticks to the mental side of it, the kind of mental issue around target panic. But he agreed that if you're not in alignment, you're setting yourself up for target panic because you're in stress. Say, you know, you're in the Vegas shoot 2020. And he was like, it's yellow line fever. You stand on that yellow line and it's not the same body that you had yesterday in practice, because all your muscles are tense. Your mind's thinking about loads of things that you weren't thinking about yesterday. And on top of that, if you're not in alignment and your muscles are trying to hold the bow, you're adding another stress. And he said it's just like a rabbit hole down towards target panic, down towards missing the target, down towards failure. So if you don't, like you were saying there, if you don't have the alignment and you don't have, you know, you can't hold that bow in that position comfortably, then you're already adding more and more stress to a stressful situation.
Yes. In fact, I had target panic for 5 or 6 years, and it was all due to alignment. And when I treat archers with target panic, I find that probably 90%, 80 or 90% of it, it's form-based target panic.
Okay.
It's not actually the mental. There are mental, and I do get students who do have the mental issue with target panic. But the large majority actually comes to me that if they have target panic, it's form-based. And as soon as I correct the form and the alignment, all of that goes away.
Yeah. Are you primarily teaching people who are shooting with a clicker?
Yes, primarily, except for aside from the three bare bow archers that I have.
Yeah.
But most often they're shooting with the clicker.
Yeah. With the alignment, so you're saying you need to kind of, you know, you raise the bow. Talk me through the steps of what you do. Yeah. Is there a shot sequence? Because I know there's a big push for the NTS, and we don't teach the NTS in the UK, but I think very slowly some parts of the NTS are being brought in. And a friend of mine was at a coaching conference the other day, and they were being kind of assessed and taught for the next level. And the instructor was saying, we've got the kind of 15 or 17 steps of our shot process, but there is another 28 to do. And I was kind of like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm told that at level 4, there's 108 steps.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't teach NTS. It is the national required system here, but I teach the linear shot process. But basically, the first rule with the linear shot sequence is you want to keep all of the draw forces and all of the load in line to target. So you start out with a square stance. After you get your hook and your grip, when you raise your arms up for setup, you're actually setting the shoulders and the bow arm in line. So you're starting out in alignment. And this allows you to use your back for the entirety of the draw. And then as the bow arm comes down, you're going to draw the arrow back, and you're going to draw to arm alignment with the arrow. So now you've completed from the first alignment, you've completed the second alignment, and now you're in alignment before you've anchored, which is very strong for holding.
Yeah.
And then you anchor, and you aim, and then you shoot. And for, you know, Olympic recurve, if they have a clicker, they're just expanding. And the expansion, as I show in my seminar, is in the shoulders. The shoulders just expand outward in that same line to target. And for bare bow, that works as well as a shot trigger to shoot.
Yeah. Could you just talk through that? I remember in the presentation, because it was quite unique. You showed a video of one of the Korean archers with the shoulders just dipped down ever so slightly. There was like a relaxation and it kind of settled down. Just describe that kind of trigger, because you did say this could be a useful trigger for bare bow.
It's as if you held both arms outright, like the middle of a jumping jack, and you're wanting to touch something that's just outside of your fingertips. Your shoulders go down slightly for you to stretch out. Your shoulders just kind of expand apart in that same line. And it's the same with the bow. Both shoulders just kind of move away from each other, and they end up going down a little bit. Now, there's two types of form that I see in archers. The way that I shoot, my shoulders are pretty much in a straight line with my bow arm, so they're kind of level. Other archers, the front shoulder is dipped a little bit. It's like the front bow arm has scooped down, so it looks like the shoulders are on a slight slant. So for the archers who have that slight slant, the front shoulder will go down and the rear shoulder will go slightly up, but they're basically still moving apart in the same shoulder plane that you're at. So for me, because my shoulders are pretty much in a straight line across, my shoulders just move outward slightly. But this allows bare bow. The number one and number two things that I see in bare bow that happen the most as far as not being consistent for shots is that they'll draw to full draw, and then the elbow will start creeping forward. It's like the shot is collapsing them in.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is that makes the hand either go slightly forward at release and then out, or the hand goes out at release. And if you're expanding with the shoulders in the line to trigger the shot, one, that's giving you a trigger that's not just your mind saying, okay, now shoot. and then there's a flinch or some movement or some anticipation of it.
Yeah.
Your shoulders go out. There's kind of a start, a beginning, and an end. And when you get to the end, you just let go, and that's your trigger. But as that shoulder is moving backwards in the line of the target, it brings the draw arm back and the hand back. And so you don't have the hand going forward, and you don't have the fling outs. So you don't have those low shots or those slightly left or right shots from the hand flinging out.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I do suffer with. I mean, it's the usual, I'll insert the disclaimer alert. I am just a club level archer, and I'm trying to get better. So I soak up all this information and I pass it on in the form of the podcast so that hopefully something there chimes with somebody else. And that is something that I do as well. And you were saying there about the kind of shot anticipation. That for me is one of the things where, especially if I'm under stress, that's one of the telltale kind of signs that things are starting to break down, where you initially get into alignment, and then there's that slow creep of your elbow coming round, and then inevitably your hand either flies out or it flies forwards and out. I shot a target maybe 10 days ago, and I literally could have put, I think I must have put 6 arrows in the same hole, all in the red 8, kind of low and left. And that was, to me, it was a telltale sign of that typical kind of bare bow shot anticipation. So you've got this kind of linear, I mean, the people who are listening can go and look at the video on YouTube. Could you just tell them where to find it?
They can just go to YouTube and search Chris Hill Olympic Archery, and that'll bring up my channel. Yeah. And the linear shot sequence is the newest video that I've uploaded, so it should show.
And in terms of bare bow, what other ways can it kind of benefit bare bow? I mean, you say form is form, and is it easier with the kind of under the chin traditional kind of Olympic archer or anchor, I should say, or is it something that you can do with the slightly higher anchor, say onto your cheek, or you know, a finger on a high tooth or something like that?
It's actually easier to do with bare bow and the higher anchor.
Okay.
Because your draw arm basically is just coming straight back in a line. With Olympic recurve and having to anchor under the chin, you have to really dip the draw hand at about the shoulder very fast and very early in the draw, so that you can get the hand in a plane that's under the chin versus higher up. So the shot sequence itself is much easier to teach with bare bow, which is why that we start out with it with all of the kids that come in to shoot. Because it's very simple to go from A to B and have them, and they normally do it naturally. That's where they just normally go when you have them draw back. They draw the hand back like to the ear. It just comes back in a straight line. It gets more difficult when you have to start teaching them, okay, you need to move your hand down lower earlier so that your hand is under your chin, so you're not moving your head up to get your hand under your chin. That's a much more complicated anchor and anchor draw than just the bare bow. And in my seminar, I show Marcus Cooley, one of my bare bow archers, and I show him shooting, and then there's a slow motion of the shot. And you can see just from his shot how easy and graceful and natural his shot is, and how steady and strong, and there's no creep from his arm because he's in the alignment and it's easy to hold. And then his hand doesn't flick out, it comes straight back, and there's no type of anxiety or tension or shot anticipation. He just shoots when he's ready to shoot, and he shoots. And I think the footage from that I used in my seminar was a bronze medal match at our outdoor nationals. And so that actually is under tournament stress, under tournament pressure. And you can see how easily he does his shot with it by just focusing on it.
Yeah. I mean, that I'm referring back to another podcast, which you probably haven't heard, but it's with Joel Turner. He was saying that, that the kind of fundamentals of the physical form. So if you get into alignment and if you have a good holding position where your kind of mind and your body relaxes, your aim, you know, the float on the target slows down. That's all kind of a product of not kind of being under tension, where your alignment's there, you've got bone on bone, and you know, your mind can relax, you can, you're free to aim a little bit longer. And then even if you do have kind of shot anticipation where you, you know, you make a little tiny flinch, if you've got the strong bow arm and you've got the alignment, the flinch, the shot anticipation movement is so small that it doesn't take you out of the gold.
Right, which is what I said with the, that it makes you so consistent that having alignment, you can still have a flubby release.
Yeah.
You can have a slightly different anchor, there can be some variance, and you're still going to be very, very consistent because the alignment is 95% of the body shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then all you're really having to do deal with is the mental part of the shot, just the mental focus, you know, on have you got your shot right? Have you done it right? It feels good. It feels natural. It feels normal. Now you're ready to shoot. You're relaxed to shoot. With the linear shot, there really isn't much tension with it. Interesting enough, I was, when I had some new students that were shooting longbow, and I hadn't really coached anyone longbow before, but I thought, well, let me go in and look at some of the greats that I would consider from longbow. So let me go look at what Howard Hill, how he shot, because there's footage from back then. And I was looking at it, and he has very similar to the linear shot, square stance, feet shoulder width apart. He is draw arm goes to alignment, and it, right when it hits alignment is when he shoots, so that's at its strongest. And I'm like, these are parts of the elements of the linear shot that he used, and that's why he was accurate.
When you were describing the kind of anchor position, you referenced having the draw arm wrist behind the ear. Can you just explain that one?
Yes. Well, that's yes. With oddly enough, with even bare bow head position and with Olympic recurve, once you draw to actual alignment with the body structure of the human body, as you bring your head back, whether you're going to anchor on your cheek, under your eye, an incisor, or under the chin, it's going to line up to where your wrist is going to be just behind your ear. And it's just human anatomy the way that that's going to work. So people who, if they shoot, whether it's bare bow or Olympic recurve, and you take a picture from the side and your wrist isn't behind your ear, that's because your head position has moved forward and you're not in alignment, and your draw arm has drifted forward to put the wrist in front of the ear or in the middle of the ear.
Right.
In my seminar, I go through it as well. I will ask people, I will say, show me your shot, show me your alignment without a bow. And just standing there, everyone instinctively right away will show the wrist behind the ear. They'll put the hand that far back. But then they pick the bow up. Their instinct is to draw the string to their chin or their face, not to draw to where that alignment is and then put the head. That's kind of the disconnect.
Yeah.
And I see it, you know, all that. I was on Instagram this morning. There was a bare bow lady who came to my seminar, and she had commented on one of my bare bow archers Instagram. So I went to her page, and she said she was working on her shot. And I looked at the picture, and the wrist was in the middle of the ear. And so I knew she wasn't quite in alignment. So I, you know, I'm like, she still has some work to do. She's still program. It's weird that people, archers especially, they shoot a lot and then they have a perception of what they're doing versus what they're really doing.
Yeah,
and I get all the time with my son will do something and I'll go, no, you flung your hand out, and he'll say, no, I didn't, because he didn't feel like he flung his hand out. He felt like his shot was a good shot because he got used to moving his hand out, so it felt natural. And so then I have to film it to show him what he thinks he's doing versus what he's really doing. And this is just common in you know, probably most any sport, whether it's bowling or cricket or whatever, the way people, you know, or golf. I'm sure people have a golf swing that they think is one way, but actually is another.
Yeah, the video doesn't lie, and it quite often it takes several video sessions for someone to kind of. I mean, some people will be presented with the video, and they still will not accept that that is what is happening. What they feel is, to them, more real than what they see in the video. I don't know as a coach how you proceed from there, but yeah, I mean, we're kind of totally the amount of resources we've got now. It's astonishing. I was talking to somebody online today, and they were kind of lamenting the fact that people say to them, "Go get yourself a coach," and he says, "Well, I live like 450 miles from the nearest coach." Now that's not something I would have kind of anticipated, because where I live, we've literally got 100 coaches within about a 20-mile radius. So,
right.
I mean, I recommended to him, if you can't like get to a seminar, try someone who can do kind of two-way live online coaching, so that, you know, he gets the benefit of somebody going over his shot and videoing himself to see what he's actually doing. And it's always, you know, people post up on Facebook their kind of video of their shot, and I hope they actually look at it before they post it, because they can learn so much themselves.
Yes.
With the NTS, it's kind of put forward as being, oh, this is really good because you use this angular motion and your shoulders, you know, you don't get damage. It's great. I mean, if you're a linear puller or you're a shoulder puller, you're going to end up in surgery, blah, blah, blah.
It's actually the opposite.
Right, okay.
Most of the linear archers, I could say a huge majority of them, aren't ending up in surgery. But NTS has a huge amount of injuries, from subluxated ribs to shoulder injuries to wrist injuries. And our OTC archers have had a slew of them.
Okay.
And as proof, I would say that you can look at Natalia Valeva, shoots linear, still shoots.
Yeah.
Erdineva, still shoots for Russia. We had Kim Kyung-wook, who won the gold in 96. She's a coach in Southern California. 3 years ago, picked up a shot bow, not even her bow, picked up a Joette shot bow, and went to our indoor nationals and won her region and placed third in the nation.
Oh, that's good. It's good going.
Rick McKinney, Daryl Pace, still shoot. I mean, I can go on and on and on at the number of archers who shoot linear and still shoot. Vic Wunderlich, that don't have injuries, haven't had surgeries. They aren't. Park Sung-young, she's a coach, still shoots.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that's a misconception because of the amount of trad archers that get kind of shoulder injuries. And like you were saying before, especially, you know, over maybe the last 20 years, they're virtually, you know, uncoached. They're self-taught. So they don't do the movements that they're doing is they're trying to pull through a clicker that they've got a limb mounted clicker on a longbow or something, and they're just shoulder pulling their way through it, which that's surely going to screw your shoulder up.
Right. But they aren't drawing linear any more than they're drawing NTS.
Yeah.
Most of them are doing a collapsed out of alignment shot. And I find with a lot of traditional archers, a lot of them shoot a lot higher poundage than normal.
Yeah, that's for definite. Yeah.
Their bow might be in the 30 to 40 pound range, but there's guys shooting, you know, trad. Their bow's 65 pounds, 68 pounds, 55. I mean, it's some heavy poundage.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I've got a friend who was part of the kind of national Olympic system here, and she was pulling, you know, 48 pounds, but you know, she's training every day. She's doing it, you know, 300 or 400 arrows a day. And they've got, you know, gym, they've got physios, they've got coaches on hand to ask questions.
Right.
But if you're a guy that, you know, pulls a bow out every now and again and pulls like 75 pounds, then maybe you're going to do yourself a mischief.
Yeah. But I mean, but that misconception is taught by a lot of the NTS coaches. And then you ask them, well, you know, what are these forms that give you all these injuries? And they don't have the answer. And to be honest, if NTS, that version, didn't have Brady Ellison, it wouldn't have any credibility. And that, to me, is actually says the opposite. Brady Ellison was a world champion before he ever shot NTS. Brady is a champion, period, and he doesn't let anything get in his way. So he learned how to use NTS and make it work for him to still be a world champion. But Brady was a world champion before. And Brady would be a world champion pretty much with any archery form that you gave him to shoot. He would find a way to make it work. And that's just the credit of his ability as an archer, not the form. There isn't anyone else in the world who is using NTS as an archery form and making the podium and winning like Brady.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody. Zero. But the linear shot, all the teams in Asia, from Korea, China, Chinese Taipei, most of the European teams, Ukraine, England, I mean, they're shooting linear. It has won 99.9% of the world podiums since the 1950s.
So if we want to shoot linear, how can we do it? What are the kind of best resources? I'm sure you've got kind of online coaching and stuff like that. How do we go about it? I mean, one thing that worries me about any system, again, disclaimer alert, I'm a club archer, I'm not an expert, but for me, I can't shoot every day. I can't shoot 5 days a week. I can maybe stretch it to three or four, and those sessions will probably be me shooting at a target. It won't be. I mean, recently I've been doing bow drills. I've gone from stretch band drills to light bow drills to my competition bow, and I'm feeling the benefit, if you can call it benefit. But for the archer they're at a reasonable level, they want to get better. For me, a system that is simpler and more reliable, easier to get the kind of alignment, like you say. What advice have you got for them? The kind of intermediate to kind of just below, kind of, you know, regional state champion, that kind of thing.
I definitely recommend the linear shot sequence. I recommend it for beginners. I recommend it for intermediate, advanced. I even recommend it for older archers who aren't quite as flexible. Maybe their shoulders aren't quite as good anymore. I always tell people, if you want to shoot long and shoot into your 60s, 70s, and 80s, you need to do it with linear, not with NTS. NTS itself is pushed and sold as an elite archery form, meaning you already need to be at that kind of level to be able to do it. I don't think it's really a great form to start with for beginners. As far as information on it, my seminar is a really good place to start. Kim Young Tak has an archery book called Archery that is the whole linear shot sequence. It's great. Rick McKinney has a book called The Art of Winning, which is a really great book and has a lot of the same basic principles. And I'm currently working on a book as well that's an expanded version of my seminar, because I wasn't able to include everything in the shot sequence in my seminar. But the seminar is a really good place to start, because I demonstrate it, I show videos, I give references, I explain probably 90% of the basic shot process that would get people starting and get them shooting.
Okay, so that seminar's on YouTube. If you if you search out on YouTube, Chris Hill, recurve archer, and then it's the linear shot sequence. The Rick McKinney book. It's interesting that you brought that up, because someone tonight recommended that on Facebook to me. Unfortunately, it's hard to get outside the US. There's none in this country, so it's something. It's a purchase from Lancaster. If anyone's interested, Lancaster Archery do have it. I think it's about $23.99 US dollars.
Carbon Express,
yeah,
that company website also has it. And if you order from Carbon Express on the website, you can even ask to have Rick sign it, and he'll sign the book.
Oh, excellent. That's a good tip. Because I saw the Carbon Express one first before I saw the Lancaster one.
Yeah, on the page to order, there's a little thing you can click that you can ask to have him autograph it, and which he will. I see him. He does seminars. He came to my seminar at Vegas. We talk occasionally. His book for my Joad kids, that was the first archery book that they all got. I always recommended his book first. So I would buy 15 or 20 at a time from Rick and have him sign them all. And then as the kids came into the Joad and then got on our competition team, that was the first archery book that they got, because it's just a really good book for information on competing and tournaments and the mental part and a basic overview of form and alignment. And it's a really good,
you've sold it to me now. You've definitely sold it to me.
my archery bookshelf. I have a number of archery books. Of course, my family loves to get me archery books for Christmas because that's a no-brainer. But my two go-to are Kim Young Tak's Archery and Rick McKinney's The Art of Winning. That to me, in fact, when I was asked to write a book, my first thought was, what else would I have to say? I don't need to write a book. Kim Young Tak and Rick McKinney covered it. It's done. They did it. Done deal. You know, take these two books and you're gold. But
can you just spell out the Kim Young Tak book just to make sure that anyone listening can find this?
Young, HYUNG, and then Tak, TAK, Kim Young Tak, and it's archery.
Right.
It's a little bit pricey. That one's a little bit pricey. And so when I was approached to write a book based off the seminar, that was one of the things that the archers were asking for. They said, can you write, you know, a linear shot book like Kim Young Tak's, but make it a little more affordable for the archers? And then, you know, with the way that the way I explained a lot of the concepts and principles in my seminar really was easy to understand and adapt, whereas his book, they had a little bit more difficulty in understanding the underlying principles and concepts for it. But to me, still, those are two must-haves on any archery book.
Yeah, we're discussing books on Facebook today, and I got a fair bit of stick for the books that I posted up there. But I mean, that's my collection. So I mean,
I did the same. There was Bow International or something gave a list of archery books that were must have and didn't list either one of those. And I commented and I was like, this is, you know, you've missed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You completely missed it. You know, if you didn't see these two books, it's like, you know, okay.
Yeah. Somebody recommended the Rick McKinney book, and a couple of other people had kind of backed that up. So I was like having a look, but that's a good tip there for the Carbon Express one. If you order via Carbon Express, you can ask Rick to sign it for you.
Yes.
Just wrapping up. Do you do anything kind of on the mental side as well? I mean, you mentioned in the McKinney book that there were some sections on mental kind of approach. I mean, for me, it's not all about competition, because bizarrely, I do like and I do enjoy doing the training drills. I do enjoy standing in front of a mirror, just pulling a bow, just a light bow, a stretch band. Bizarrely, it's just one of the only things that I've ever, you know, decided that the actual practice and the kind of preparation I do enjoy doing. Yeah. Is there anything that you recommend in terms of not only the mental side, but in terms of drills and kind of offline kind of stretch band practice, you know, stretching?
I do teach the mental, but I find that most of it comes from the confidence in your shot and your form. And I kind of explain it in that if I took a big 122 centimeter archery feet of target and I put it on the bale and I had you stand 5 feet away, and I said, okay, I want you to aim in the 10 and shoot 10s. You're going to shoot 10s all day long because you're so close, and the 10 is, you know, a dinner plate size. It's so close. And there isn't going to be any mental issue because you know your form and you have complete confidence that you're going to put the arrow right in the 10, so much so that you might even be bored. And this is how the world-class archers approach and shoot. Even at 70 meters or 50 meters, they have done the shot so often. They have got their form down so well. They have absolute confidence in that they can do their shot, that there isn't any real anxiety at all, even if it's slightly windy or that maybe there's some terminate pressure because they're down one set. They still step up just to do their shot. And a large part of the mental is the confidence that you know you're going to shoot a great shot and it's going to go in the middle. And you can do it over and over and over, and it's just what you do. And it's just the little bit of that day, whether you're on it or not, or maybe the wind wasn't quite so helpful for you against your opponent. But the margins of winning and losing are much closer when you're at that stage and at that level.
Yeah, I mean, I think the word there is doubt. You don't have that kind of doubt when your form's there, your alignment's there, your preparation's there, and your equipment's good. You don't have that doubt anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way. It's a good healthy way to look at it.
Yeah. And it's just enjoying the shot. It's like enjoying the effort and the progress that you've put in and that you've made, you know, on being able to do your shot and the consistency of it. But, you know, it's like I can, when I have the kids come in on the competition team, I would always bring them close to 5 yards and I would put up targets and I would have them shoot. And sometimes we would even score. And most of that drill was for them to build up confidence in that, yes, I can put the arrow in the yellow pretty much every time because they're 5 yards away and the target's fairly big. And they get the confidence of that. And then over the course of 4 or 5 months, I would slowly walk them back to 18 meters to shoot on that same target. But I was building the confidence the whole time. And there were archery games and drills and things that we would do to teach them. But I would start them out literally at 5 yards. And imagine if you took an archer who said, I want to compete, and I don't know really that much about any of the form or anything. I'm brand new, but I want to go to a world level. Imagine if you set them up and set a target, and it was 4 feet away, and you said, okay, and we're going to shoot this, and you're going to shoot this, and every shot's going to be yellow. And then over the course of a year, we're going to go back a few feet, a few feet, a few feet. After you've shot 3 or 4 years with this person, or this person has shot, and they're used to shooting nothing but yellow, that kind of confidence, that is what builds a world champion, because you get that, as opposed to, well, let's start at 18 meters and we're going to fling arrows and some are off the target and some are in the middle. And maybe I have a shot dead center, but don't even know how I got the arrow there. It just flew there, some fluke. That's a lot more iffy way to go about training. So you always want to train – you know, with a confidence building exercise.
Yeah. I spoke to the coach, my daughter's coach, yesterday, and he said, look, we're going to take the target face away, because I was dead set against having a target face. I wanted to learn just to enjoy shooting the bow, not to kind of equate her level of skill and a level of ability with how many arrows that she gets in the middle.
Right.
So they decided that they were going to move the target. I mean, she's only shooting to 10 yards away. She's only eight. So, and she's not huge. She's not a huge 8-year-old. So they said, look, we're just going to get coloured shapes, and it's just all going to be about having fun, hitting a kind of coloured shape. And if we don't hit it, we might hit another shape. We might get something, we might get a little prize for hitting another shape. But there isn't that dependency on hitting the yellow. But if they move the target really, really close, you're saying that just will build confidence. They kind of see something happening. Because, again, yesterday I saw somebody and they're looking, I had a horrible day, I'm transitioning to a completely, I'm actually transitioning to the kind of linear shot sequence, and at the same time I'm starting to do a triggered shot. So I literally, I didn't shoot a single arrow for about an hour. I came up and I was at hold. My trigger wouldn't go off. Bow came down. I didn't shoot an arrow. It was just not happening. So I'd had the opportunity to look at other people, and you do get that kind of look of people are always pleased when it went in the gold. They have no idea how it got there.
Yes.
But then when it doesn't go in the gold, and they've similarly got no idea how it got there, they look puzzled.
Yes. Well, even in my target panic video that I have, I talk about taking the 122 centimeter and starting close. And if there's any kind of anxiety in the shot or doubt, then I spray paint out the red so that the red and the yellow is now yellow with yellow spray paint. And if there's still anxiety, then I take yellow spray paint and I spray out the blue. I just keep making the yellow be larger and larger and larger until they can shoot a shot in the yellow without any anxiety or doubt and can do a good shot. And then I slowly start shrinking it there. And it's kind of the same. It's like, it doesn't matter that the yellow is 3 feet wide. It's about making a good shot without having that anxiety or doubt or anticipation or reflex.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're blank bossing, but with a target that doesn't induce the stress. So they're free to express themselves and enjoy the shot and get the shot right without that kind of doubt creeping in. And because that doubt itself kind of, for me, I don't know how it manifests itself for other people because I can't get into their head, but that manifests itself as kind of negative thoughts. And that's never going to help you.
Yeah. And I do the same. I have people who at 18 meters, they can't shoot the 40 centimeter target. It's like, it gives them anxiety and they do all kind of crazy stuff, but I can take a 122 centimeter target and put it up and cut out the 40 centimeter and put it in the yellow of the 122. So the yellow is still small. It's a 40 centimeter yellow on the 122 centimeter target. And the archers can shoot that without any anxiety because their head sees the 122 centimeter entire target. And then they're just aiming in the middle of it. So it's the same. It's just getting to that shot where you don't have the anxiety. You don't have the doubt. You can just trust that your form is there. Your form is consistent and your form is good. So the better you get your form, the better that becomes. And the worse that your form is and the more inconsistent that it is, the more you're going to have shot anxiety and performance anxiety and those type of things creeping up into your thought process and your mental game and your mental focus.
Well, that's a really good tip there. And I hope that somebody's listening that maybe is a coach and they've got people that are having those issues and they kind of take that into their coaching, wherever they may be in the world, that they take that into their coaching and use that as a technique just to reduce, you know, somebody's anxiety and get the kind of fun back in. Just before we wrap it up, Chris, is there anything else that you'd kind of like to add? Any other pointers that you want to give us or any other information or kind of directions to stuff that you're doing or whatever? Can you just kind of give us a little bit of information that maybe you think, we've missed something out here?
I think everything, I think I've pretty much covered everything. There are a lot of archers, as I'm sure in the UK, that are here in the US that don't really have access to a good coach. There are a lot of parents who wind up coaching their kids. I have my YouTube channel. A lot of that is geared to helping kind of people who self-coach themselves. I do offer internet coaching as well. My Facebook page is archery based, and a lot of it is like coaching my son, and I start from the time he was about 4 years old up until current where he's 11. And so that's also kind of a primer for how you can take a child or a kid that wants to get into archery and is just having fun and kind of slowly ramp them up as they age up to where they start wanting to do competitions and still have fun. And you can see kind of issues that come up and how I address them and how I correct them for the youth archer. And so that information is there as well.
Yeah, I'd be really interested in that because, like I say, I've got an 8-year-old at the minute. She's kind of just started. She's shot like kind of little events because we have a lot of kind of recreation events where they have archery. We live very near a lot of sites where they do, where we've got a lot of kind of history from the kind of Roman era. So there's always people doing some kind of traditional archery kind of expo at one of these things. So the kids go along and they have a good shoot of a target, and she kind of really enjoyed it. So just on that kind of theme of getting kind of kids interested and keeping them interested, that's a really good tip. So what's your Facebook page? How can people find you there?
There's a link to it on my YouTube, but you can also go to Facebook and just type in Chris Hill Las Vegas. And there may be a couple, but there's only one that has, you can tell right away, I'm shooting archery with my son as my profile picture. And my tiny profile picture is my two MK risers. So it shouldn't be that difficult to pull me up.
All right. Well, that's cool. I'll have another look. I think I looked at you on Facebook anyway, so I'll have another look.
They can always find me or go to one of my YouTube videos and post a comment asking, and I can attach the link in the comment as well.
Excellent.
For my Facebook. And I have an Instagram as well, but that might be a little bit harder to find.
Okay.
On my Facebook or YouTube. But both of those links are on my YouTube, my Instagram. But and my Instagram, I do put up archery-based things, but mostly the Facebook is and the YouTube is what I stay current on.
Okay. Cool. Well, really nice speaking to you, Chris. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have you got some archery lessons on the rest of the day?
Yes, I do. In about 3 hours, I have an archery lesson. I get a little bit of time to do some work, and then I have an archery lesson with the Barebow Archer.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Well, enjoy, and hope you have a good session with them, and hope they have a good session as well. And really nice to speak to you, Chris. Take care. Yep. Thank you very much for being with us here on the Barebow Archery Podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Many thanks to Chris Hill there. I hope you seek out some information on alternative shot processes and form techniques. We've got more coaching next week when we move away from form and technique and we're into the mental mind game. We've got our mental and mindset coach coming on, and this guy's a big deal at international level in team sports and things like golf, Olympic events, things like that. So please do join us for that. If you want to find out more about the Chris Hill and his linear shot sequence, head on over to YouTube and do a search for Chris Hill Olympic Archery, and then the linear shot sequence, that video will pop up, and go and take a look at that. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Produced and presented by Glenn Pringle for Redstone Productions Limited.
This is the Barebow Archery Podcast.